Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel 1:1. We are still looking at the secret place, the church service, the church meeting. The gospel of the the book of the gospel of Matthew, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And we said this means that the author intends that you read the New Testament. So again, just to repeat very basic things, the context of the epistles will be the book of Acts. That means to understand the epistles, I have to read the book of Acts. The context of the book of Acts are the four gospels. And the four gospels, the context of the four gospels will be the law and the prophets. So the principle of reading scripture is to read it backwards. What was being read before this was said. You can't use the epistles, for example, as a context of the four gospels. The events of the four gospels took place before the epistles were written. So to understand, the only things that preceded the four gospels are the Old Testament writers. So which means we need to read the Old Testament to understand the new. Let me say, like I said in the first service, your understanding of the New Testament is based on your understanding of the Old Testament, or will be based on it. So you need to read the Old Testament to understand the new. Here we are told to read about the seed of David and the seed of Abraham. The word generations, the same word for Genesis, genealogy, Genesis. Matthew's Gospel 28, I'll just go straight how this relates with our subject for today. Jesus says, all authority is given me in heaven and in earth. And we said, heaven and earth means what? What else? House of God? Church? Huh? Church service? Very well. So this is about the church. Heaven and earth. The union of heaven and earth. The next verse, verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. All nations is God's house. It says, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Verse 20, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you. So we see the three unions present. Heaven and earth is united, right? All nations united, and God and man. Lo, I am with you. All these three represents the house of God, the household of God, or say the temple. In Mark's Gospel 1:1, in the beginning, or the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Again, the word beginning is in Genesis. As is written in the prophets, or in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Now this means, again, to read the Old Testament. Because the words of the New Testament cannot be given modern definitions. They have to be given their ancient context, which remains the Old Testament. This is Malachi 3 verse 1. Which means to read Mark, I need to read Malachi. Now, Malachi takes us again, verse 3, Mark 1:3. It says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. This is Isaiah chapter 40:3. So I will need to read the Old Testament to understand the New Testament. Again, to repeat, we call it Old Testament, not because those are their proper names. That's not their proper names. The proper names is the scriptures, the word of God, the law and the prophets, the gospel. That's where the Old Testament books were called by New Testament authors. In Mark's Gospel 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. See it again, all nations together. Is that the house of God? Okay. Then it says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, he that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. We're going to come to the subject of name in a moment. They shall cast out demons or devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Then he says, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they, the sick, shall recover. Look at 19. So, all nations, every creature is the house of God. 19. So that after the Lord has spoken unto them, pay attention. He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Pay attention to 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere. Let's take it together. And the Lord walking with them. So the Lord of heaven is in the earth walking with them. So two things are happening here. Heaven and earth together. Huh? And then God and man. And confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Again, we see the house of God concept here. all nations, heaven and earth, the Lord with us. Luke's Gospel 1:1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order the creation of those things which are most assuredly believed among us, even as he delivered them to us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order most excellent Theophilus. Now we said this, that said in the first chapter, assumably this is the only Gentile, non-Jewish writer in the whole Bible. And he gives us the non-Jewish, or let's say the Gentile narrative of the ministry of Jesus, right from the synagogue in Luke 4, through to the Great Commission of Luke 9 and 10, where he sent 70 to all the nations. Luke gives us the fact that God's will for salvation stretches beyond the single nation of Israel. Luke 24:25, upon the resurrection of Jesus again, he said to them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Of course, glory is a temple language, alright? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I'm going to repeat what I said today in the first service. Also, I've said in many of the seminars that the things about Jesus are not necessarily thus here the Lord's statements. Prophecy in the Old Testament and even in the New is not necessarily a thus here the Lord moment. Sometimes prophecy is non-verbal. It's just a pattern you can discern. A pattern. The death of Jesus was not prophesied in words. The death of Jesus was a pattern from Abel. It wasn't prophesied in words. Like I did say in Genesis 15, where it says, I will put enmity between you and her, or and the serpent, between your seed and his seed, and both ways, and I will bruise thy head and bruise his heel. And usually we say that's Jesus. Not really. Jesus assumes it because he's a man, and Jesus assumes it because he took on the personality of the patriarchs. If you go and look at our series on the name of Jesus, I explained it in detail. The fact that he became a man, he assumes that pattern. There is no prophecy that says Christ will come and die. Like I did mention in the first service, if it was that straightforward, that there was just a prophecy about Christ dying, then stripping the devil of his authority and all of that, then the devil would be too smart to allow Jesus to die. I mean, right on the cross, like I just said, please give him 5 alive or something like that. And please, I mean, get him small chops. He can't die, oh! But 1 Corinthians 2:8 says, had the priests of this world known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Which means that the will of God was hidden in patterns. So it's not a direct, thus saith the Lord moment. No. So when Paul says Christ died for sins, 1 Corinthians 15:3, according to the scriptures, buried, raised again the third day, according to the scriptures, he's not referring to any particular prophecy. He's saying when you put it together, this is what you're going to see. The devil is not intelligent as you think. I've said it many times. He usually needs man to give him information. When he came for Jesus, for example, he didn't know that Jesus was born until 2 years. 2 years. That means for 2 years, God had done something through Mary and Joseph. He had done something that Elizabeth knew, but no one said it. Now, mention again for some reason again, that seems like God gives much more to people who are discreet. People who are smart. In the sense that they are discreet, they are not, you know, people that talk. Some guys talk too much, and you know the girl won't put things in their mouth. Imagine that, I'll say the general. Look at Exodus 1, the midwives. You know, and they, a group of people kept something from Pharaoh. Pharaoh only knew it when he saw the boys who were growing up. You know, Saul had just gone out in this day and age, not you. And I said, Pali, my bestie, you know, Pharaoh said we should be killing boys. We didn't do it all. My senior midwife said, we must not do it, it's not the will of God, but this is between you and I. Don't tell anybody, sir. I promise. Then you get home and say, you know what I had to do? He said, I should not tell anybody. And then you find Miriam, who they had Moses, and they sent the child. He said, follow the baby to Pharaoh's, and God hid Pharaoh's nemesis in his house. And he, in his house. And Miriam did for one day said, look at this silly boy. Is it because I'm taking care of you? If not for God, I will expose you. She kept quiet. Aaron was quiet. The parents were quiet. Some would have just gone on the WhatsApp status. God is cooking something. If Pharaoh should know what God is doing. Some guys are just dumb. Really stupid. Extremely stupid. So dumb. The wise man, my friend, will say, wise and foolish man. When they saw the star, you saw star. You saw star. The king didn't see the star. You know how to tell the king that you saw star. He will say, hey. He will say, ah, it's good. When you have gone to his house, I'll come and do follow up. They were so excited. They said, ah, the king must hear this. As they said, the king must hear this. You know, and God couldn't talk to them when they were not sleeping. So as they say, you know, that's why some of us need dreams. Because when you are awake, you are listening to them. But when you are asleep, no, I mean, someone can control you. And say, oh boy, if I hear error, error would call. Don't take what should you. My prayer. Thank you. And God does that. So the prophecies of Jesus are mostly non-verbal. The patterns. And then he became a man. So when he became a man, the incarnation was not known, pay attention, until much later. So which means that God hid him. So Jesus would have first of all appeared to the devil like just one of those prophets. And where he will know the uniqueness of Jesus will be too late. He will know it in the place of the dead. I mean, when somebody doesn't know how powerful you are and is already telling you, I'll deal with you, I'll deal with you, and you don't do like you can fight. You didn't see the guy. And you know, spits on you, gives you a slap, looking at him. Then when they got to ground zero, and then Jesus was looking, this is my illustration, don't worry. And you're getting one punch, you lose one blow, seven die. Ah! Then you knew, this is the Lord of glory. After 30 years loss. Hallelujah. That's how God acts. He'll tell no one. Lord, why can't I tell anyone? Are you not God? Ah, if you are really God, let me tell you what. To show you have power. He will show you he has the power to watch you. Hallelujah. So the prophecies about Jesus are not necessarily verbal prophecy. They are patterns that we can see within the scriptures. Are you here? Very good. So he, things concerning himself, verse 44. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. They opened ye their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Again, reading together, reading those scriptures together, which means there is no dichotomy between Old and New Testament. I've told you, Old Testament is simply the culture. The culture, the ceremonies, not the message, not the plan, not the purpose. No, no, not that. It's the culture, let's say the vehicle of the message is the Old Testament, not the message itself. John's Gospel 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Again, just like Luke, Jesus goes back to Genesis, John also goes back to Genesis. And the Word here is the Word of the Lord in Genesis 3:8. The Word of the Lord, the voice of the Lord God. Genesis 15:2, the Word of the Lord. The visible God, where God was literally seen. Jacob saw him, Abraham saw him, Isaac did. Of course, Adam and Eve did. Nation of Israel, the elders, the 70, they saw God. Moses did, Joshua did. So, but they hadn't seen him as a man. See, that's the game changer. As a man. So the book of John is about the word of the Lord that was visible, John 1:14, became a human being and dwelt amongst us. In John 20 and 22, it breathes on. That's a word for God. It's phrase for God. To breathe. Which is the word emphosau in the Greek, E-M-P-H-U-S-A-O, which means to put life in something. That's something that God, Jesus, did in Genesis 2:7. He breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. So go back to that Luke. Luke also gives us the picture of the house of God in what we call the Great Commission. Luke 24 and 47. Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name amongst all nations. Is all nations the house? Is all nations the house? Then look at 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. So power from on high, is that heaven and earth? Very well. So heaven and earth is together. All nations is together. God with man is together. So the Great Commission, let me say this. The greatest indices of the Great Commission is unity. God is uniting people, uniting heaven and earth, and uniting God and man, bringing reconciliation. Paul calls it that way. 2 Corinthians 5:18. He says, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and given us the ministry of reconciliation, to which God was in Christ, 19, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and gave us the message of reconciliation. So the gospel is unity. I said it here on Friday here, that the very important indices, let's say, concept of the Pauline revelation is unity. Jews and Gentiles, male and female, all the nations, God and man, bond and free, everyone together. That is the house of God. That is the church of the living God. So it's very important for us to know where we are. Where are you now? And I'll just repeat what I said earlier in the first service, and you know, there's a way we easily succumb to the world. We succumb quickly to the world and how the world does things. What do I mean? You know, there was a time just about 3 years ago, because of the lockdown, the COVID crisis, where many companies, many organizations started to do work, they call it remote. They worked remotely. In fact, many remote jobs have emerged, and people are making money working for a company in America right in Nigeria. Beautiful. And people are doing a lot of meetings, a lot of things that we didn't know were possible, Google Meets, Zoom meetings, and are going on. And so the world has found a way to interact with our physical presence. Beautiful. It's good for commerce. It's good for many things. I remember when they were trying to use the Premier League like that. After a while, people just came in. You know, some things just couldn't work that way. You know, but somehow some churches seem to have succumbed to it. And then they started doing online churches, online services. And see, you don't have to do what the world does. And you know, and I've said many times that some things you tolerate today will become a culture tomorrow. It was supposed to be something permissible for the time being. Of course, we didn't have it. I didn't do it. We refused to do it. And I told the pastors of this church, not because it's wrong, I said I won't want to start something that we cannot sustain. I said, our theology does not permit this. Our theology is the scriptures. We've never taught it this way. Now, because of circumstances, we wouldn't do it. Rather, let's look at the opportunities. What's God doing with this seeming crisis? And we took advantage of that. So I wasn't going to do that. And I wasn't going to do it either. So, but some people just, you know, got a hold of that and decided doing online. Now, I've heard about online ordination. That's a very interesting one. It's not even a musterion. It's a masterion. I just cannot understand that one. But you know, people do also online meetings and all. You see, the world can do it for its own things. We need to stick with scriptures. Church is biblically a physical assembly. That's why you will know, when you look at the coming of Christ, you know what that is, right? It's a cloud. Is that a gathering? Come on. A gathering. It's a cloud. The physical gathering is not an option. It's not. And so the church has to be careful. It could work for commerce. It could work for entertainment. It could work for every other thing. But it's not about, you know, what works for people. It's what does God want. And so, the assembly of the saints is God's instruction. In fact, the writer of Hebrews says, as the manner of some is. which means you can develop a habit of not gathering with believers. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. So in 1 Timothy chapter 3, in the series we began last week, and I taught it again on Wednesday, and of course the first service. So in case I don't repeat some things, this means that when the teachings are out, you get them. 1 Timothy 3 and 15. Are you in church? Let's go. But if I tarry long, let's go sit together. But if I tarry long, I'll wait for you. Let's go. But if I tarry long, I'll wait again. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. House of God is an Old Testament concept. It's a holy place. A holy ground. In Genesis 28, where we first saw it, Jacob, right, and we must know the concepts. By knowing the concept used to describe, we should know how to treat, how to treat the church. You know, for some people, the church is a venue. Just a venue. And that's why sometimes the kind of things they do, guys, well, what are we doing this year? And someone said, well, and sometimes it began from the university fellowships when they are drawing up programs. They say we must have sisters week, brothers week, final year brethren, you know, all kind of things. And then they do, you know, they got that from a whole week. You know, all these kind of things, you know, all week. I've seen churches do rag day, fellowships on campus, rag. And you have all kinds of things like that because the world does it, okay? So I think in church, you know, and you know, I discovered now some churches are now doing the bottle challenge. I wish my notes went behind the veil. He said, I'm not joking. I saw a church of them, they did beauty pageant. They were looking for Esther. I'm not joking, people came up. I'm not sure they know what Esther was doing. If you know what Esther was doing, you will never near that kind of thing. You have to know what the Bible says. So, it's like trying to be like the world. What are we going to do? What are we doing in church? Someone said, well, someone told me, said, look, the world has gone beyond all these long sermons. All these long sermons. Just make it brief. Brief. But there's a pastor, he said, look, this is how he said it, was 2007 or 8. He said, peeps, you know, like peeps. Peeps. I remember, I said, peeps are not for all these days, peeps. I said, eh. The pastor once said, he said, that guy, he was talking about me, he said, he's just too old fashioned. He doesn't invent. He doesn't invent. He's too stubborn. Too stubborn. So I told the guy, I said, well, no matter what peeps like, that's what peeps. The world just, someone briefly. And I said, but the movies are not responding to that. Season one. Season 2, one month, they'll break it, pam, pam, pam. And the brethren will watch everything. Till the end of the world. They will cover the earth. What the guys is, they know, make it, I don't know, you should, when you know where you are. For example, if you come to the church, now this is not about you, right? But sorry, I love you, brother. It's not, if you come to church without a Bible, it may mean you don't know where you came to. Because come with the Bible is just what you should come. Imagine if you called someone and said, come and help me fix my car. And you know, and the guy just runs down, then he wears a bada. So boy, I said my car. He said, I know. But I just felt like something screws missing your brain. Because if it's church, if I know where I'm coming to, I'll naturally carry the attitude. It's called the house of God. So, if it's the house of God, right? Then I should know what we're doing there. Because you must know where you are. Hallelujah. Are you in church? You must know where you are. And many of us won't complain if you go for a visa interview. I think there's a point they'll say, drop your phones, right? You don't say, why? They say, the embassy says you must drop it. The consulate says you must drop your phone. I don't believe in that. I don't believe. That is in the bondage. I don't believe in that, though. Hold your visa, hold your visa. People will think you are mad. Because they think you can simply drop your phone and come back. So, no! I can never leave my phone. I can't leave my phone. My phone and I, we are joining United. We can't leave ourselves. So, no. There is no way I can leave my phone. You think this man has a mental case? Because you can easily leave your phone. You feel whatsoever and go back to your phone. And usually no one can see that kind of phone. That would be a word of wisdom or something. So you don't say, well, I can't. Why we say I can't is because we don't even know where we are. Where are you? What are you meant to do there? Look at what the church is called in Scripture. The descriptions of the church is called the bride, the body of Christ. Ephesians 1:22. I'll tell you what body means. When you read body in Scripture, body is not physical body. Someone say, well, our own church, we are the ear of Christ. Your church, we are the toenail. No sense talk. Ephesians 1:21. Far above all principalities, power, might, and dominion, and everything that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come. I put all things under his feet, giving over to the church, which is his body. The fullness of him that filled all in all. The word body and head. The word body is the word, the Greek word SOMA. It means union. The head is the word kephale. Kephale, K-E-P-H-A-L-E. It means source, or the original. Right? So, we are the body of Christ, is the head, means that we represent him. Right? We represent him. We're united with him. In Romans 12:5, the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:11-12, the body of Christ. Now, if you go to the Old Testament, the first place you see the meaning of that word body of Christ is in Genesis 1:26-20. Let's get there. Let us make man in our image. The Hebrew there is Selem. T-S-E-L-E-M. Image means representation. Expression. The image of a supernatural being or a God is his representation. So, the image of a man is the body of it. Its expression. The image of a God, a supernatural being. So which means the body of Christ is not an afterthought. The body of Christ is God's original idea. The intention. Our union with God is the meaning of body of Christ. So when we gather as the body of Christ, it's not just, look at me guys, it's not just you and I that are here, alright? We're in union with God. When we gather together, there is a union that we must elevate and celebrate. That union is God and us. Heaven and earth. So just, it's beyond nations coming together. There's heaven and earth, which is the natural and the supernatural in one place. And it's God and man. Body of Christ is union with God. So it's called the body of Christ. It's also called the household of God. Household of God. Ephesians chapter 2, same Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, and verse 19. I'll start from 18. First, start from 16. That we might reconcile both to God in one body. See? Ephesians 2:16. Let's read it together. Makes sense. Let's go. Ephesians 2:16. Are you there? Remember, what is the Old Testament meaning of body? Image of God, right? Image of God. And we'll be studying together. The image is the representation. Image is a corporate word, right? Remember? Is a corporate word. One single person is not the image. You act as the image or in the image of God. You're in union with God. Image is not your physical body. Image is your function. Now Ephesians 2 and 16. Let's read it together. That in my... Okay, let's even start from... Sorry. I think we must start from... Let's start from 11. We'll read it together. No, we're going to read it till verse 22. Are you ready? So let's go. Wherefore remember that you've been in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called uncircumcision, in the flesh made by hands. 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, 13, now in Christ Jesus, you were sometimes far off, are made near by the blood of Christ. 14, for he is at peace, who had made both one, and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us. 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, for to make himself obtained one new man, so making peace. 16, that he might reconcile both to God, where? Can you see the word body? Go on, in one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. 17, and came and preached peace to you, which are afar, to them that are near. And through him we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. 19. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God. 20. And are built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. 21. In whom all the building fitly framed together goes up into an holy temple in the 22. In whom you also are built together for an habitation of God. It captures everything. A people, a place, everything together. So Ephesians 4 and 4 says we have one body, one spirit. So body of Christ is a union. Then it says household of God. Household of God. Household of God. What else are we called? Household of God. Okay. Galatians 3:28. There is one. Galatians 3:28. Right. There's neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. So say one in Christ Jesus. That's the body of Christ. Look at Hebrews 2. Let's put Galatians 6:10, also calls us the household of faith. Hebrews 2. Verse 10. It is in him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Let's take 12 together. Saying, I will declare thy name to my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise to you. So it's a household of God together. 2 Corinthians 6, 16, I will be their God. They will be my people, the B part. Then look at 18. I will be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. So it's a family. It's a family. It's a house. What else is it called? It's also called a planting. 1 Corinthians 3. Watch this. We're going to read three expressions together. I'm going to start from verse 8. Let's go. 1 Corinthians 3. Let's go. Are you here? Let's go. Now, he that plants and he that waters are one, And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Let's take 9 together. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry, God's building. Alright? Now go to verse 16. Know ye not that you are what? The temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. So, it's called as God's planting. Is that Eden? Is that Eden? Eden was the first thing God planted. Eden, he planted us. Then he says, you are his building, his house. You are his temple. So we must have that fact in mind. Quickly go to John 15. So identification and recognition is very important. To know where you are. Who are you? John 15. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. So it shows you that the church is not a human creation. The church of Christ is not a human idea. Quickly, 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. Let me read verse 9. Let's take it together. 1 Peter 2, 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now go to Exodus 19. And verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Let's take 6 together. You shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. Are you here? So you don't understand what Peter has said till you read the Old Testament. Just like the word body of Christ. Household of God. Is household of God what he promised Abraham? Isaac? Jacob? David? It's the same thing. So we take that identity from God's plan. So knowing what the church is will help you in how you appreciate the church meeting. Knowing what the church is. So that recognition is very important. So you don't think, oh, we're just, I mean, you have been seeing everybody here. We're another, no, this is different. That's where we are. So go to Genesis 28. So what do we have here? Union of what? Huh? Heaven and earth? Come on. Heaven and earth? So, what we're having here, is this heaven? I was saying in the first service, imagine you're leaving home. So, where are you going to? I'm going to heaven. Huh? Where are you going? I come from heaven. God forbid, but I command you, I curse you, I forbid you, I bind you. No, this is heaven. Because you say, whatever we bind here is bound where? Because this is the intersection of heaven and earth. So we must treat what is going on here like heaven. Hebrews 12. So one of the descriptions of this meeting, it's a heavenly assembly. Hebrews 12. And verse 2. Let's read it together. Come on, let's go. Hebrews 12, 20, I'll wait for you. Let's go. I'll wait for you. Hebrews 12, 20, are you there? Let's go. But you are come unto Mount Zion. I'll wait again. Let's go, everyone. Come on. But you are come unto Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. To the new coming. To the general assembly. To the children of firstborn, which are written where? In heaven. It's a heavenly assembly. What we bind on earth is bound in heaven, because there is an intersection. Heaven and earth intersect here. They overlap. So this is not just a regular meeting. So when Jacob in Genesis 28, when he woke up from that vision, In verse 16, it says, the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. So the first thing you have to take out is ignorance. You have to know where you are. You have to know where you are. Ignorance. You first remove the ignorance. I should know where I am. That's why Paul says, that thou mayest know where, how you ought to behave in the house of God. You have to tell them, because sometimes we forget. First thing, I did not know it. Look at what he does after. Then he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? That if you know where you are, will it show in your conduct? It will show in your conduct. If you respect the place, it's not by talking about it, it will show in your conduct. Something as simple as being punctual. Being punctual. Something as simple as getting there on time. People come late for services because they don't treat it like the house of God. You know, in their own opinion, it's just the pastor just decided we should have our service by 7:30. So, well, I think I want to be attending by 8:30. You know, you just think that's who it is. But you see, if you respect what is going on here, you will treat it as secret. I showed you last year. No, was it last year? Early this year? How the time you do things are important. Can you remember? Talking about morning devotion, I told you that there's something about, is a pattern in scripture very early in the morning. It's priority. Priority. I mentioned in the first service, the distance some of us have between where we work and where we live is far than where we worship, fellowship here. But we get here late. Because we treat what we do for a living as sacred. And we treat the house of God as secular. And we will not see, if you treat the things of God with disdain, he will not use you to carry out his plan. Whatever you don't respect cannot work for you. If you treat the things of God with disdain, and you think, you know, just, and the way you don't move you. That's why Jesus in John 2, go to John 2. John chapter 2. When he got into the temple, scripture says he found in the temple, John 14, those that sold oxen and sheep and those and changers of money sitting. The point about this was a usual practice. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple. And the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the money changers' money, and overthrew the tables. Then said, take these things hence. Make not, can you see it? My father's house, a house of merchandise. Which means it's left to us how we treat this place. Make not my father's house a house of merchandise. There's nothing wrong in merchandise, just don't do it here, right? There's nothing wrong in selling and buying, but don't do it here. You can decide to, and I told you the import of this was the segregation of the Jews and Gentiles, the use of sacrifice and all that. Said you can do it elsewhere, but not here. Not here. In Mark 11 and 17, Mark 11 and 17, Mark 11 and 17. Let's take it together. Is it not written? My house shall be called what? I'll wait for you. A house of what? Prayer. But you have made it what? Now, you know, you have made it something else and it's become a culture. So the fact that people are doing something is bad, for the last 30 years, that's what, that doesn't change anything. It's a house of prayer. If a church is not a house of prayer, they are abusing the house of God. They are misusing it. Every member of a local church must be a prayer. If you are really in a prayer, means you are praying. It's a place of prayer. Look at the abuse. A man who claims to be in a church and not attend the prayer meetings. That is disrespect. You don't have a choice. You don't rearrange. It's his house. He brought us into his house. Just like Garden of Eden. He brought us into his own house. This is his house. He's the one that gathered us together. He's the one that brought him and us together. He brought the nations together. Our own is to receive from what he's done. We don't have a say. Like I said the other day, imagine somebody getting into your living room and saying, how come you guys don't eat in this living room? Oh boy, I think you'll be eating here now. What's the big deal? How come we cannot play football here, sir? Did you hit your head against the wall? It's not your house. You may not like it, but it's not your house. It's his house. Any true worshiper of God here? We do what he wants, right? Come on now. We do what he wants. It's not your house. If some of us behave, you know, because the usher will say, can you stay there and say, who are you talking to? Go and ask your pastor who I am. You know, some people like that, they sort of rude. I usually tell people this. I say, look, if you have to introduce yourself without proper conduct, then there's something wrong with your conduct. Something wrong with your conduct. It's the house of God. Is it that way? So here, he says, you made the den of thieves. What did Jesus do here? Watch this. In Luke, Luke 19, Matthew 21, let's take Matthew 21 first. What did he do in the house of God? Matthew 21. Verse 14. The blind and lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. It's where the power of God is in demonstration. So this is the house of his power. So this is the house of his power. Luke 19. The sick are healed. Luke 19. Verse 47. Same experience. Let's take it together. Luke 19. Let's go. And he taught. What is it? He taught daily in the temple. The temple is to teach, to minister to needs, supernaturally speaking, to pray. That's why when the church met in the temple, look at Acts of the Apostles. Acts 2. They knew what it was. Acts 2. Now it doesn't matter where you meet. It's who is meeting. Acts 2 and 42. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. Breaking of bread and prayers. Verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church that should be saved. Go to Acts 5. Acts 3:1 first. Peter and John went up together to the temple in the hour of prayer, a place of prayer. Acts 5. Let's take 42 together. Acts 5, 42. Are you there? Are you there? Let's go together, huh? And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to watch Champions League. What were they doing? To teach and preach Jesus Christ. That's what it's for. If this is his house, his temple, we must teach his word. We must worship him. We mustn't worship our desires. We must teach his word. We must worship him. We must give room for the demonstration of his power, his gifts. We must pray. There's nothing called too much prayer in the house of God. There's nothing called too much Bible teaching in the house of God. That's, sorry to say, lunacy. That's a lunatic thinking. Sorry to say, it's strong, I know, but I have to say it this way. It's his house. That is what he wants. Hallelujah. So it's a holy ground. Praise the Lord. Go to Genesis 28. What is holy? Holy means different. Holy means separated to God. Different. Which means I must treat this place as different. I explained a bit of that in the first service. Genesis 28. As soon as he knew where he was afraid. Verse 17. He had fear, godly fear. We must have fear. Godly fear. And said, how dreadful, how awesome. Then he took oil, the shemen, and shed it in the first service, and he treated the place specially. You must show your Christian worship in how you treat Christian meetings. If truly you have a very brilliant personal fellowship with God, it will reflect in your fellowship with other believers. It's a sacred place. It's a holy place. So that's why Paul gave instructions. Why do you think biblical authors will give instructions on what you should do and should not do? It's not just any kind of place. In 1 Corinthians 5, Paul was instructing about the garden at Shemen first service, how a brother who had his father's wife, you know, he was in church, and nobody said anything. Paul said, no, the house is not for that. He said, look, when you come together, and this guy has his father's wife, and is reported common among you, you are puffed up, you are never the man, but he has done this, he might take it away from you. He just, no big deal. He said, no. I am saying that when you come together, verse 4, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such one, the same for the children of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. That's heaven and earth. In verse 13, he says, that wicked thing cast it out. Which is, this place is sacred ground. It's sacred ground. Heaven is here. The heaven is here. It's sacred ground. In chapter 6, he says, many of you are having issues. Watch this now. He says you have issues amongst yourselves. Then he says in verse 3, know you not that you shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then, let's take verse 4 together, let's go. If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, That means in church we judge issues. Authority is given. Look at 5. I speak this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No. Not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. So he's saying, Paul is equating, and much more, going to church brethren for judgment higher than going to a law court. He says we should trust what God has put in his church than in the world. Why? It's holy ground. Say, I love the body of Christ. Say, I love the body of Christ. Say, I respect and I regard the assembly of saints. Hallelujah. Paul says, no. This one has more authority. No, you know that you will judge the angels. You will judge the world. Glory to God. Heaven and earth is what we are doing here. In chapter 11. Hallelujah. Watch what he says. Chapter 11. Verse 17. Now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. Possibly. That means, watch this. If we want to see the glory of God more in our midst, it's up to us. It's up to us. Our attitude. Don't say it's up to the pastors. No. No, it's not up to the pastors. All of us. It's up to us. So you come together and there's no better. It's just for the worse. Look at the next verse. For first of all, When you come to the church, I hear that there be what? Divisions. So when there's a division in the house of God, in the meetings, it makes people go worse. So you watch strife. So of course, we can't do 1 week not in this church without fighting somebody. You must have somebody who say, don't mind me, don't mind that. And we bring it to the house of God. Some guys are what you reverse call Pijabi. Just like fighting in the house of God. So I don't care. And they don't know it has an overall effect. Because the house of God is for union. Union. Some guys are just like that. Remember years ago? Now, we used to attend this church. And I was not a member, but because our meetings used to be in the evenings. So I used to attend this church in the mornings. So one of those days, the pastor of the church just got up. I didn't know why. Because I didn't have to ask. So he now spoke to one of the people leading the songs. And he disciplined the fellow right in front of everyone. I said, you mustn't do this anymore. And he said, and then the guy playing the keyboard, not you. And you know, he went like, boom, boom, boom. And I just was warm. I didn't ask questions. I didn't ask somebody, what did he do? It was my own. Hey, was I not very harsh? I'm just thinking. So, I went home. A friend of mine, still a friend, kind of a friend, but he came in the afternoon, just before our meetings, and he said, what do you think happened in the morning? I said, what? He said, well, I don't think the pastor was too harsh, you know. Was that necessary? I said, I looked at him like this. If you don't get out of this place, what's your business? Take your, but this, let me tell you what I said actually. I said, take your curse out of my house. I want to serve God for long. What's not my business? Did I appoint the guy? I don't even know the guy. I was invited to the church meeting. I don't know when it started. I don't know how they started. I don't know who they started with. And I say, why did he talk like that? Where do you think you are? House of Assembly. No, that's not where you are. It's not Sugar Representative Council or NLC General Conference or Board of Shareholders. We are all shareholders in the House of God. I have my own share. I need 0.01%. I own something in the life of God. No. It's not my business. David said there are matters too hard for you. Hallelujah. That's what they are. Said, boss, get out of my house. It's not my business. Those conversions will lead to strife. First, there are divisions. 19. There must be rest among you. This is an interesting statement. That they which are proved may be made manifest among you when you come together into one place. There's not, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in eating every one of you takes another his own supper, and one is hungry, another is drunken, which means they were doing class in church. Class. There's some people like that belong to this ministry. They identified those who came from high class family. I'm telling you, they say, someone said, I can say this music. They were saying it though. I said, this person, he was born in the US. He's not born in the UK now. Their family has, so we can stay in this. I'm telling you, in the church. So there are people they will relate with. But let me look at you up and down. I love you in the spirit. But in the flesh. You know what I did? One of them, I posted the fellowship in the uttermost part of the earth. You want to do evangelism there. So that wordiness in your brain get out of your head. This is the church. They are doing class. They kind of cast the job. We just said, big people before the church service. Then five people just say, hello, how are you? I noticed you're at the car park. Just greet somebody in the car park. I saw a sticker on your car. Work for Shell. You are blessed. I'll see you after church. You are sitting here. Okay. You have to go to the church. The church is, everybody's at the same table. Paul says, when you come together like that, it's for the worse. You are not getting better. It's for the worse. Now, look at the next verse. Let's take 21 together. No, verse 22. Like, what? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God? That means we can despise the house of God. When we do things in here that are not meant for this place, Paul says we shame the house of God. We despise the house of God. There was a church like that, and I wasn't told. I saw it. Where if you are bringing your car, and they see the kind of car it is, they tell you where to park. They say, No. Here, I tell left. Lefty. And when you look at the right, you see, 2024 model. You see your own car, no model. There will be model for the foundation of the world. And they move like this. Very interesting. This was something that can be funny. Somebody comes down from Marwa, say, hurry up, now start started. And then someone is in the car, say, you are welcome. Take it easy, take it easy. Paul says you are despising the church of God. Take it easy. So, where do you want to park the car? The way I'm looking at it, the car is not fit for the car park. Because you can park it here, right here. I will explain to pastor. You know, there are things we do. This is not your office. This is the church. We drop. So, next Sunday, we are coming to celebrate our tribe. And then I say this one, we are angry. I don't care really. So you come in your native attire. Do you know the implication? There are some native attire that have no attire. Say, come! So we now bring a handkerchief. I don't want to sing any song, so you will not push me. That's the exact opposite of church. The church is a union. So we mustn't despise the house of God. Hallelujah. That thou mayest know how you ought to behave. Hallelujah. There are desires we should have for church. You don't go to church with desire to be rich. That one is even lamber. You see, I heard that statement from Pastor Brotunde. I don't know. He said, is it, well, and he told me his source later. I don't know. So, I think lamber means a lie. Because that's what it is. How can I say, come to our church to make you rich? That is a lie. That's a lie. There is no church that can make you rich. That's where they collect your offering. I'm telling you the truth. If you want to be rich, go to those who are rich. And find out. And do the right things. Be honest. There are desires you have in church. You have desires to build the brethren. When you come to church, if what is on your mind is, this week, I must have a breakthrough. My desire today is, and they say, put your hand on your head. Say, I'm a millionaire. And sometimes you say, this is Baal. Baal worship. People say, hey. No. When we come together, 1 Corinthians 12:31, it says to these spiritual gifts. Hallelujah. See, I desire spiritual gifts. That is the desire you should have. Desire the things of the Spirit. You are a Christian. 16 years. 16 years. You are speaking in tongues that they are forcing you.
No.
Amen. How can you do that? Let's flow in the spirit. Flow. Okay. What is it? You're bringing somebody from a Fortune 500 company. The man has turned around 16 businesses in 1 year. In fact, the last time he had a turnaround CEO, a company that was in the red, a debt of $1 billion by 4 years. He said $10 billion. He consulted for the U.S. government. He said, Pastor, you're a blessing. You're bringing a conversation. I knew you were the man. Because you are actually getting that pastor into trouble. That's not the church. The church is not for son. They desire the things of the Spirit. What else? 14:1, follow after love. To love the brethren. To edify. Seek to edify the church. Seek the things of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:39. Covet to prophesy. Forbid not to speak with tongues. Those are the desires we have in church. Are you here?
Yes,
sir. Those are you have in church. The kind of desires expected in his house. Praise the Lord. Have the right desires. Like the songwriter says, every time that we are gathered in his name. Hallelujah. And his spirit is working. Fill our hearts with your passion and your dream. Fill our hearts with your purpose and your plan. That's why we are here. This is not where God crowns your own plans. Anoints for you your own purpose. Is where he gives you his own. The house. Treat this house well. Write this down. The way you treat church meetings is the way you worship God. Your attitude towards church services has to change. I'm going to give you 1 minute to put down things you have to change in your attitude towards church. Write it down in your own notes. Cover it from your friends so they will know. You know, maybe it's covered as assignment. You can use your left hand. Those who did it well in secondary school, where are they now? They are still covering it. I'm joking, no. All right, just 1 minute. Write down a change you want to make. So your change will be that you won't be going to the restroom doing service. Amen?
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 Amen.
How about Jesus? Thank you. You raise your voice and ask it. 3 times. Someone, you get there, we don't win you, you'll say that. Yeah. 1 minute. Write down what you are going to do. Someone is pride. You think you are ancient of this. Nobody can talk to you.
So, I said, I want to stay here, right? Young boy.
So, write your a change you are going to make. Is it punctuality? You at the back. Start writing that one. Punctuality. When you are arrived in church, make that, write it that I'm going to make that change because it's God's house. and I respect his house.
Hallelujah. Matthew 18. I'll build on this next week. I was going to teach on this today, but next week. But tomorrow, when we have the teaching on Sunday, I'm going to talk a lot about the name of Jesus. Because I want to talk about it today, but I just move it to tomorrow. The name of Jesus. Like the person leading worship said, it's not about alphabet. No. Look at Matthew 18. Where two, verse 20, or three are gathered together in my name. Doesn't mean you write your name in my name. The word name, right, is not alphabet. It's not even talking about Jesus. The name of Jesus is not Jesus. That's not what name means. Men who are bearing Jesus. There was one like that means four chances. May that one not be my Jesus. I'm not angry. I walk in love. Anybody bearing Joshua? Anybody bearing Joshua here? You are Jesus. There's even a brother in Sunday church. His name is Jesus. So if you are Joshua, you are Jesus. What do you want to change your name? Eh? In Jesus' name, in Joshua's name. Okay, now, the word name means reputation. Shem in the Hebrew, reputation. What is known for? So, where two or three are gathered in my reputation. So, it's also used for the presence of God. So the name of God, because of the reverence that the Jews had for God, they won't call him by name, but the name of God. The name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of the Lord. Let me show you something quickly. Look at Psalm 20. Are you in church? The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend you. Psalm 20 verse 1. The name of the God of Jacob. The name. The name. Jeremiah 12. I'll close here. Jeremiah chapter 12. No, no, not yet. Not yet. Jeremiah 12. We'll read a few verses together. Look at 5. Let's take it together. But unto the place where the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even to his habitation shall he seek and So is the name alphabet or his presence? Very well. Now look at verse 11. Let's go. And there then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. So the name of God is his presence. Exodus. Where I am. So 23, pardon me. Verse 20. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep you in the way, to bring you to the place which I prepared. Let's say 21 together. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression. Why? For my name. This is a very unique message. We've done this study before. For my presence. So the name of the Lord is not alphabet. It's his presence. His reputation. His glory and power. So when it says where two or three are gathered in my name, is in my presence. With my presence. With my reputation. There I am. So the name and him are interchangeable. John 17. I'll close here. John 17.
John 17. Look at verse 4. I glorified thee on earth. I finished the work which you gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Notice the word glory. Let's take 6 together. I have manifested thy name unto the men which you gave me out of the world. Thine they were, that thou gave them to me, and they have kept thy word. I've manifested your name, which is your glory, your person. Look at verse 26. I have declared unto them your name. Which means that in the Yahweh of the Old Testament, they can see Jesus replicated. That's the name, reputation, the presence, the glory, the power. So the name of the Lord is not alphabet stringed together or a sound or vowels and consonants. No. The name of the Lord is His presence. So when it says, where two or three are gathered together, in my name, there I am. There I am and the name are synonymous. So the church is where He has put His name. Let me show you one more. 1 Kings 8, when Solomon built the temple. 1 Kings 8. So this place is the place of His name. The place of what? His name. 1 Kings 8. Verse 29. That eyes may be open towards this house, night and day, towards the place of which thou hast said, let's take it together, my name shall be there. Can you see? So is His name His presence? The name of the Lord is the presence of God. So from now, every meeting you attend, prayer meetings, cell group meetings, Wednesday services, workers meetings, if that meeting is a church service, under any guise of what we do as a church, we pray, we teach, we minister to needs, we walk in God's plan, His name is there. You know, so about the name of the Lord is that people can be right there in God's presence and not know. Just like what Jesus said, and he treated with all disdain. You think it's just about some folks who know each other and together, and then let's just have one service and we're gone? No. We are in the name of the Lord. And we treat this house as sacred house. Let's stand to our feet. Oh, we bless your name, oh God. Your